Hey everyone, welcome to In Your Element from Tetramap, where our focus is on developing people and business the way nature intended. Our guests will be sharing their expertise on what it's like when you're working in your element and working in a great team where people value each other's differences. I'm Louise Duncan, your host, and look forward to sharing this with you in the coming weeks. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the In Your Element podcast. And I'm really thrilled to have with us Alison Fay from the UK. Now, Ali, as she prefers to be called, is the Employee and Engagement Manager at O2, who are part of the wider Telefonica group. And she previously was in a senior leadership development role there. And Ali and her team and her colleagues have been using Tetramap since 2013, really across a different range of contexts and discipline in the Telefonica group. So it's a huge privilege and honour to have you with us today, Ali, and I'd like to say a big warm welcome to you.
Thank you, Louise. That was a fab intro.
And I should also say that Ali is one of our Master Tetramap facilitators, and that role is really part of what we would describe as our Tetramap Global Leadership Group. And people who are in that group really are responsible in a way for helping us grow Tetramap's brand and business, but also using it in context that's relevant to them and their own organisation. And what Ali did as part of her Master Facilitator program development was she took a project, which we're going to be hearing about today, about how Tetramap helped them solve a problem in terms of leadership in their organisation. Would that be fair to describe it in that way, Ali?
Yeah, absolutely. There's been quite a lot of traction and kind of, you know, action from the survey results that we did a couple of years ago now. So I'll talk about some of that stuff this afternoon as we're going through this.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Ali. And it's important for us at Tetramap that we get to know people on an individual basis, because as we know, really this work is all about, you know, part of who we are as humans. So our first question that we wanted to ask you, Ali, is, you know, what it's like when you are in your element. What are you doing, thinking and feeling?
It's a good question to kick us off, Louise. So my preference is water, fire. And quite naturally, I love to be with other people. That's when I'm really in my element. When there's laughter, and there's positivity and there's creativity and it's flowing and I feel like I'm really able to add value and really make a difference to how people learn and what people are learning and really get a kind of like a buzz from people's lights being switched on. You know, when that light bulb finally comes on for somebody. That's when I'm absolutely in my element.
That's cool. And is that the same out of work as well as in work?
Yeah, I think it is actually. I'm quite a busy person outside work. I very rarely sit down and I'm always on the go. I've always got a project. I'm always being creative, trying to solve some problems. And naturally talk a lot, yes.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, that's your perfect guest for a podcast then. So, Ali, I asked you if you could think about, because Tetramap is based on the metaphor of nature, we really like to ask our guests something about nature that's important to them. What would you like to share?
So one thing that sprung to mind for me this year particularly is that we've acquired a garden, which I've never had before. And I was looking back at some of the learning that I took from my master's program a few years ago. And one of the quotes that I sort of really sort of thought that this connected with was around one from Bucky Fuller, which was, "Nature is exquisitely efficient." And it got me thinking about my newfound love of gardening, which I never ever expected. And it's actually really taken me by surprise how much passion I have for it. it's brought me closer to my dad as well. we just love sharing the triumphs and the difficulties and helping each other out, and, you know, kind of like share the seedlings and the plants and, you know, advice and guidance all around, which has been fantastic actually. And it's made me just really realize how easy it is to develop some amazing blooms with very little effort. You know, a little bit of plant food, some garden canes, a little bit of knowledge and some experience from Dad, obviously. And during midsummer, sort of June and July in the UK, my garden was actually blooming. Like, aww. I've never experienced anything like it.
That's amazing.
And I was slightly concerned because we don't have great soil. The weather is as notoriously dicey in the UK. And I just didn't expect it to flourish so abundantly in the first year that we'd kind of got this garden. Mm. And it made me think, so it made me start thinking about that actually we've been focusing at O2 over the last year and a half around growth mindset, the whole concept of growth mindset. And I just felt like the two topics were so intrinsically linked. First of all, for me and the learning curve that I've been on this year, with the whole taking the plunge with gardening, but also as well that whole push to kind of like give yourself an opportunity to learn something new. And just right. to see how you can develop and you can grow and you can flourish by trying something a bit different.
That's absolutely brilliant. And I loved what you said about how it also built an amazing relationship with your dad. And, you know, looked to him differently in a what he can absolutely. Bring, how he can bring different knowledge and skills to this, something that you can do together. The concept of synergy is definitely there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really nice year actually. And even today, at lunchtime, I dug up some dahlias and put them in a bucket and took them around to my dad's and said, "What do I do with these?" So he's sorting the dahlias out as we speak. Well, tomorrow he will be anyway.
Well, dahlias are beautiful flowers. So well done. Congratulations to you. And would that be your quote that you would have ask, you know, nature is exquisitely efficient, from Bruckminster Fuller, or do you have another one?
I actually have another one that I've thought about. One of my favourite books is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And I was given a copy of this book, I've got it in front of me right now, by a really good friend of mine when I'd decided to take a sabbatical 3 months from work when I worked in a previous job before I started at O2. And the reason that I decided to go and do some travelling was I felt a little bit stuck. I felt a little bit lost, a little bit stuck. Didn't quite know. There was kind of lots of different areas in life that I had big question marks around. So I took myself off. We've got friends and family that live in Australia. But it was quite a big thing for me to kind of pack up and just disappear for 3 months and go and travel around Australia. And while I was there, I read this book, and I remember I was laid on a beach in Bundina, which is in New South Wales, and I had a little bit of an epiphany. It was quite far into the 3 months that I read this, and somebody said to me, "I know that you're out there doing a bit of soul searching, and actually, this might help you. So give it a read while you're out there." And the quote that comes from those travels and that story was this. It was, "We are travellers on a cosmic journey, stardust swirling and dancing in the eddies and the whirlpools of infinity. Life is eternal. We have stopped for a moment to encounter each other, to meet, to love, to share. This is a precious moment. It is a little parenthesis in eternity." And that quote really sings to me about, first of all, about the whole concept of exploration. And that's what I was exactly out there doing, just exploring life and trying to find a few answers. It smacks to me as well about relationships and this whole thing around, you know, that actually those are the things that really anchor us and really keep us kind of, you know, on the ground and, you know, grounded, and also as well, keep things real for us. And also as well, there's a real fragility to life, and what I found when I was out there in Australia traveling was that the only thing I wanted to do was to come back to Yorkshire and see everybody that I, you know, that I love. And interestingly as well, the paradox is that this story is about a boy who goes off to seek treasures elsewhere. And then what he finds is that actually what he's searching for was right on his doorstep.
Yeah.
Anyway. And that's what I felt, that actually this story was just an actual kind of reincarnation of what was happening to me at that moment in time. And, you know, what I found was I loved Australia and I loved travelling, but I realised that actually my heart was back in Yorkshire, and that's where I kind of came back and settled. And I've never questioned it since.
Yeah, I know it well. Well, I know Yorkshire pretty well. And I also know the book. I don't know if you remember that at the time you were doing your master's project, you mentioned this book. And I said, oh, yes, I remember reading that too. And, absolutely amazing book. So, Ali, I wonder if you could do me a wonderful favour and just send me the quote that you've picked out with the title of the book so that I can include it in the show notes for anybody who's listening to the podcast. Thank you.
I will, definitely.
All right. Well, that was amazing. So, Ali, let's move on and talk about your topic, inclusive leadership. I don't know if that's the right title at O2, but can you identify for the listeners who won't know much about what was going on a story about what prompted your interest in this particular area and what you decided to do?
Yes, of course. And yeah, inclusive leadership is really what it was all about. And I guess at the time I was working in the leadership development team across O2, and we were regularly using TetraMap as a tool to really enhance our leadership development programs. And what we asked our leaders to do was to complete the questionnaire, the little survey, and then we would do some learning and development around that whole concept of TetraMap. And we got to the point where we'd kind of, you know, done TetraMap with around about 3,500 people. So it was really quite a big group of individuals. And what I found as we were going through that experience was that there was some real kind of proactive enthusiasm for certain elements, and then some real cynicism and some real kind of questions around other elements. And I have to say, it rather irritated me, to be honest. And I wanted to use that as the basis for my master's project to kind of really get a sense of, why am I right in thinking this? You know, in terms of some of the comments and some of the things that I was experiencing, and actually, if that's correct, if what I'm proving is true, then what can we do to change that that whole perception? So that was why I chose to kind of use this particular topic as the basis of my my master's project.
And I think it would be helpful, you know, you mentioned some people were positive and others were a bit cynical. And what were they being cynical around, Ali, just for people who haven't had an insight into the project?
So the key things were that across our organisation, there were quite a large percentage of senior leaders across our business that had the profile that was either earth or fire or a combination of the two. And the perception was that those individuals were probably most likely to reach a senior leadership position if you were a profile that was very similar.
Right.
And had you been, predominantly, an air or a water preference, that you had less chance of being able to get to a senior leadership position across our organisation. And
I
there
see.
Was some real, there was some real cynicism, particularly around the water preference, and that being seen as more of a almost like a weaker preference than some of the other preferences across the organisation.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, Ali. Yeah, that's good. And for those people that don't know, Earth is firm. It's about goals and results. Air is about logic and analysis and quality. And water is more about the relationships. And fire is all about the possibilities and the ideas. So if people are listening to this and they're not sure what that means, you know, we are all four elements, but obviously we, most of us, have one or two preferences. So, yeah. And what came out, Ali, as a surprise? What did you learn from that, and what did the organisation learn?
Well, first of all, my real sense of I was really angry, to be honest, at the thought that there were people across our organisation that were going away from, you know, from some of those sessions or having conversations following those sessions. And actually, I had a conversation with one individual who was a graduate at the time, and he said he wished he was a different preference,
right?
Which really, really got to me. And it's about drive. It was you know, that cynicism was really driving the wrong kind of behaviours. And this individual,
right,
was working differently than his, you know, his natural preference.
Mm.
And I wanted to draw it to the attention of our senior leadership team, and, you know, and ask the question: how can we really, in this business, be truly inclusive if this is how individuals are feeling, that they don't really want to admit that they're water? So what happened across the organisation was that I did some surveying. So I surveyed about 70 people across the organisation. And the surprise was that actually, my hunch in starting this whole exploration was actually confirmed, that the perception was that to be a senior leader across our organisation, you would get most opportunity to do that if you were either an earth individual or a fire preference. Mm. And the results that came out, I've got some statistics actually about what the survey told us.
Yeah, so firstly, great.
Firstly, 55% of the people that we surveyed with a high earth preference were most likely to reach a senior position. Only 4% of individuals thought that a water preference would.
That's quite a big gap, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was quite staggering, with the results that came through.
Huge.
62% of water elements agreed or strongly agreed that they did have a desire to reach a senior position across our organisation, yet only 4% of them believed that they were likely to make it. So again, for those individuals from the water element, they were very unsure, only 4% of them, that they would actually make a senior position in O2.
Wow.
The next statistic was around earth and fire scored the highest when they were asked if they believed they had what it takes to reach a senior leadership position. And finally, the air and the water preferences scored the lowest when they were asked if they found it easy to promote their ambitions upwards. And what we found, that there was only a very small percentage of individuals that were a water preference predominantly or an air preference predominantly that actually had a conversation with their manager to say, I'd really like to be a senior leader in this organisation. And it was almost like they were expecting that to just happen or fall out of the trees without having a conversation. So those were some of the results that really kind of was quite surprising that came through having done the survey.
Yeah, and affirmed your intuition.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. Hey. And I think, I mean, I don't know if you've got an idea of the total population of the people that you've done TetraMap within O2, but generally we would find that often in most organisations, a large proportion of those people do have a high preference for water. It just depends on the organisation, but in the general population. So I think one of the conclusions from that was O2 may have been minimising the opportunities for people who were in that sort of preference to actually obtain a different kind of leadership role. And then I know you linked it to what is leadership in the future looking like. So would you like to comment on that, Ali?
Yes. Sorry, Louise, can you just say that again?
Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, in many organisations, first of all, there's a large proportion of the organisations who have a water preference. Therefore, yes. If only a few of them think that they can make it up the ladder to being a senior position, that diminishes your opportunities for those people, not just for yes. the people themselves, but for the organisation is what I'm saying.
Yes, it absolutely does. Yeah. And, you know, we need a balance of all four preferences at every level across the organisation.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to encourage that across our business.
Yeah.
And we've also done a lot around our inclusion agenda as well this last sort of 18 months. So do you want me to explain?
Yes, please. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
So we've...
You did the survey, and now we're going to talk about what's happened as a result of the conclusions
yes.
that you found.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we've had a really busy year across our inclusion agenda, and the survey that I did didn't necessarily spark all of this activity, but it certainly helped to really decide that, you know, our inclusion agenda needed to be moved forward. So the things that we've done across the organisation since the survey, first of all, that we've launched a Women in Leadership programme that's still running after about 4 years. And in that, we've taken particular individuals who potentially could have been water and female and asked them if they would like to join this programme. And the programme is about boosting confidence, bolstering self-esteem, giving the guys a really great network and opportunity to talk to like-minded women. Mm-hmm. And what we found with that is that we've got an increase in the number of female applicants that are going for more senior roles.
Oh, that's
the organization.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Great.
We've also implemented a career returners program. So we've got individuals who've taken some time out for whatever reason. It could be caring for elderly parents or raising their own families. And we've asked those individuals to come and join us for a 6-month period. And they've gone through quite a rigorous program. And in that program, we've given them opportunities and introduced them to different networks in the hope that at the end of that 6-month period, they'd like to stay with or two. And most of those individuals were also women that joined us as well. I think the majority of them were, but it was also open to male candidates as well.
Yeah, cool.
We've done some menopause awareness, which is quite an interesting topic to lift the lid on. And, I've learnt lots. but what we've done is to actually start taking the stigma away from that particular topic and really started to open the lid on it and really get some great conversation across the business about how this can impact and affect people from every single walk of life, male, female, it doesn't matter. You will come across somebody at some stage in your life who is going through this particular phase. And it does have some major changes for people. It does have some different effects that can affect people in different ways and cause concern for individuals. So we've as I said, lifted the lid on that one.
That's an interesting one, Ali. I've not heard of that before, an organisation putting a particular focus on that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, we did some statistics and there are actually something like two-thirds more individuals that potentially are in the age bracket to be experiencing menopausal symptoms than there are on maternity leave.
Right.
So we decided that it was time to do something with that. And we've launched a menopause awareness program earlier this year.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. we've also introduced a program that changes the type of conversations that our leaders are having with their people. So this is around, you know, those individuals that haven't spoken out explicitly and said, I'd really love to be a senior leader, or I'd really love the next move up the organisation. And actually what we're encouraging our leaders to do is to have a different type of conversation with their individuals that includes the whole concept of career and progression in there as well. We've also now got a 60-40 female-male split on the board. So there are actually more female board members than there are males, which I'm really proud of. And I think it's bringing a completely different perspective to those.
That's massive, Ali, because I remember when you were talking about this quite a few years back, and I think it was something like 90% towards males. So you've really done a big turnaround in that one.
We have. Yeah, it's been a really, conscious effort. And at one stage, Anne Pickering, our HR director, was the sole female board member.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, she said it was a very lonely place at the time. That must be a very different environment to be in right now.
Actually. Yeah.
We've also as well, which is a bit of a new one as well, but we launched a new paternity leave policy in the summer, and we actually launched a 14-week paternity leave concept to our all new dads across the organisation. I can't remember the date that we launched it, but it was in the summer. And so that means that instead of having in the UK, parents generally get 2 weeks parental leave. And we've actually changed that to 14-week parental leave. So dads can be at home with mum and baby for the first 14 weeks of the baby's life, which I think is an amazing achievement, actually, that we've got that one across the line.
That is amazing. Well done, you. What a lot of progress. That's amazing in a very short space of time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also as well balanced shortlists for CEO -3 and above roles. So we make sure that they are balanced in terms of male and female gender, and that there is an element and a percentage of individuals within that bracket as well that are also from a BAME background. So that seems to be working very well across that CEO -3 and above level. And then we've also as well been encouraging people to disclose more about their data. So we ask individuals to disclose about any disabilities or what ethnicity they are, so that we can have a really good scope on where we are as an organisation and actually how we can then target and improve and move forwards in terms of that inclusion agenda.
Well, what can I say? That's quite amazing. Some amazing outcomes. And, for an organisation like yourself, which is a large employer that has a huge number of customers on the mobile phone network, role that you're playing in a leadership role for other organisations is also something that's valuable that you can contribute to society as a whole, not just in your own organisation. And I know that's something that you're particularly keen on, Ali. So well done. And it's interesting, isn't it? From a small spark of a project like this, as you said, not every initiative is linked to this project, but you had the intuition to push this idea forward, and it's given you some opportunity for those conversations at your senior leadership team level. So I'd just like to say on behalf of all of us, well done to you guys. Not just you, but to the whole team there at O2.
Thanks, Louise. That means a lot, actually, because, it's not always easy to change some of these initiatives.
No.
But I think the inclusion agenda, as I said, in the last 18 months has really pushed forward. It's fantastic, the work and the effort that we've put in to turn that around.
Mm. Well, finally, Ali, just as a kind of wrap-up, as we know, TetraMap is really all about developing great teams naturally, and you've mentioned that phrase several times. I just wondered if there's something that with your experience, your knowledge and your capability that you'd like to share on that topic that might be a great gift to leave with someone that's listening to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say if I could leave you with anything, it would be if you're in a role now that's not allowing you to explore kind of your realms of possibility. It's not allowing you to be in your element and do the things that really make your heart sing, then look to change it. I would suggest, try and find a role that allows you to be your authentic version of you, to seek out and encourage everybody to be themselves and to really celebrate diversity across every team.
Well, that's a pretty powerful gem to leave people with. So thank you, Ali, very much.
Thanks for having me, Louise.
It's been an absolute pleasure, as I knew it would be. And Ali, I'll put the quote from the book that we mentioned on the show notes. And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, if it's okay, I'll put your LinkedIn connection there.
Of course, yeah, I'd be more than happy to speak to people via LinkedIn, absolutely.
Great. Well, Ali, thanks once again for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure and really congratulations on the progress that you've made. Really fantastic.
Thank you so much, Louise. Thank you.
And look forward to our listeners to another exciting and interesting guest coming up next time on the podcast. In the meantime, take care. And as Ali says, be in your element. Mm-hmm.